All right, we are in the book of Mark as we continue to have an opportunity to kind of walk through this gospel a little bit. What we've been doing is really just kind of just really taking it verse by verse through the book of Mark and taking a look at the character of Jesus as we've had an opportunity to kind of see where he's been, where he's going, what he cares about, what he said, what he's done. And so this is really just about just kind of seeing the gospel kind of lived out before us, and so who this Jesus is. So Mark, we looked at all his parables. There's going to be a shift from his parables. We're going to head into a narrative of the disciples on a boat in the middle of a storm, but we'll get there. But let me ask this question. I want to ask you who these people are. I have pictures of certain celebrities from their like kid photos. Let's see if you can tell me who they are. Right? You ready? See how good you are. The first one's like super easy, by the way. All right, who's this? Who is it? Does anybody know who it is? Ooh, good. Okay. I was going to give you a hint. Hairy feet, by the way. Hairy feet. He doesn't really have hairy. The Hobbit has hairy feet. But anyway, it's Elijah Wood. It's Elijah Wood. Good. Good. Okay, good. We're one for one. All right, good. Okay, here we go. Next one. Are you ready? I think we're in now. This is going to be a tough one. Anybody know? Sorry for those on Facebook, you're probably having a hard time seeing, but just hang tight. Anybody have an idea? What if I put a fedora on the kid? It's actually Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford. There it is. Who said Harrison Ford? Okay, there you go. It's Harrison Ford. Very good. Okay. Let's see where we're at. Okay, ooh, this one looks like a mugshot, though. Anybody know who this is? Okay, I'll give you a hint on this one. A hound dog. That's Elvis, man. That's Elvis. Which, by the way, like, these are out of order because I was going to put a microphone and a hound dog in there. But anyway. Oh, well. Oh. Anyway, moving on. Oh, this is a good one. You want to take a guess? Any single ladies out there? Who is it? It's Queen Bee, man. It's Queen Bee. It's Beyonce. Beyonce. I think I got one more. Okay, one more. Oh, this is a good one. Here we go. Okay, what if I put these glasses on him? Not Steven Spielberg. Just imagine all the people. John Lennon. There you go. Like, but half, like, some of the younger people were like, I don't know who any of these people are. Maybe Beyonce. Still got Beyonce. Like, I threw in Beyonce there for you. All right. I couldn't find, like, a picture of Biebs looked just like Biebs. Like it looks like now. But anyway. All right. Moving on. So who is, like, what a great question. Who is this? Who is this person? Right? I asked you how many times. So we're going to be asking this question today. Who is this? Because it's going to be a question that's going to be asked of Jesus. Who is this? Right? That there's something about them I recognize, and then there's this kind of ambiguity, like with John Lennon or Harrison Ford or whatever it might be. Like I can kind of see, but who is there? I want to know. And so this is a question we're going to be taking a look at as we kind of walk through this. So if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. That's where we're at these days. Mark chapter 4. We're going to close out chapter 4. We're making our way all the way through. So Mark chapter 4. Reading from the NIV, we're going to be in verse 35. We're going to take a look at a narrative of the disciples as they are on their way through the Sea of Galilee. Okay, let's get into it. On that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." and then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. That's the question we're going to be taking a look at. Who is this? Who is this? We're going to be taking a look at this question because in just four chapters, Jesus will ask Peter, who do you say that I am? In Mark's gospel, this is a very important question. And I believe in all of Christianity, in all of life, in all of your experience, if you draw breath today, this question means a lot to you this morning. Who is this that we're talking about? Because Mark's trying to answer this question. Now, if you remember, if you go all the way back to the beginning of Mark, he answers the question, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark already answers this question in the first sentence of his gospel. And in fact, he's going to answer it even further in Mark chapter 15 when there's a Roman centurion at the cross who says, surely this was the Son of God. Mark is making sure that you answer this question and that you know the answer to this question without a doubt. And so he kind of like has this, he's walking us through, who do we say that Jesus is? And in fact, he's going to ask Peter, and you're going to see a huge shift after chapter 8 in the character of Jesus, because after Peter answers this question, Jesus, he drops all pretenses at that point. He's transfixed before them, like, oh, right? It's just, everything changes in the book of Mark after chapter 8. But here, Mark's leading up to that by throwing in these little, like these little breadcrumbs to follow. Who is this? And this is where they're going to start to ask this question. But it's a really good question in regards to Jesus. Have you ever asked this of yourself, of Jesus too? Who is this? Who is it? Who do I say that he is? Who do I believe him to be, right? Now, the disciples didn't fully understand then, and we really can't blame them. I know some that we really, a lot of preachers really hit the disciples hard. How could you know? I think there's probably a greater chance that we would still have a hard time answering that. There may be people here today who still have a hard time answering this question. Hopefully by the end of today, we can move that down the field a little bit further. But here, they're having a hard time trying to understand this because Jesus did something absolutely incredible. We'll get there. I don't want to steal any thunder here. Anyway, he had been with them for a short time now, and they have seen him do amazing things, right? They've seen him heal people. They've seen him forgive people of their sins. They saw him deliver demons from people. And now he's done something that now they're starting to question. Has anybody ever done something to you? Now, normally this is bad. Normally these are bad things. Has anybody ever done something to you where you begin to question if you ever really knew them in the first place? Normally this happens when we're betrayed by a friend or by a spouse or something like that. Like, has anybody ever done that? Like, you'd be like, who are you? Who is this person? Here Jesus does something that they're like, I can just almost see the disciples, who is this dude? Right? Like, is he with you? He got the front of the boat, and he speaks to the wind and the waves, and they listen to them. And now they're starting to ask questions. Is he dangerous? Seriously, who is this guy? And what Mark is beginning to reveal is that he's God. That he is God. In human form. Incredible. The way you answer this question should have implications in your life. Who is this in regards to Jesus? How you answer it should begin to manifest itself in some ways that you behave, in the ways that you think, in the ways that you love one another, in the ways that just in everyday aspects of your life. It should begin to have an impact. And if it doesn't, well, then we just need to have a conversation. Let's talk about that. But let me walk you through kind of what's going on here. So, by the way, this is a picture of what normally would be a first century boat, small little boat, probably about 12 feet, 14 feet long. Not exactly, maybe more like 15. That's a little small. But okay, I'm thinking of my own canoe here. You know, I'm going to change. This thing's driving me crazy. Hold on. So there's this little clip. There's this little clip that goes on the microphone that your pastor lost. So it's supposed to clip back here and not fall off my face. So it has to dangle. So anyway, so there we go. So if you want to know the true story, I don't hide anything from you. Like, you all know me. Like, that's no surprise to you, right, Cindy? None whatsoever, right? Matt lost something? Never. Anyway, so this questionably sized boat is going to get, is this probably something that they looked at, by the way. Moving on. By the way, I want you to notice something about the text. Look what time of day it is. It's evening. So as Jesus has been healing all day, he's been working all day with telling parables, and as soon as they get to the lake, it's now nighttime. And that's the time in which Jesus is going to decide to cross the lake. So while they're there, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat that was nearly swamped. So just kind of put the pieces together. It's nighttime. There's a storm. You have no idea how deep the water is. You don't have no idea how long the storm's going to last. You didn't expect it. And now you're in the middle of this three-mile lake. It's incredible. And here you are. It is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And so just put yourself there for a second. And the boat was starting to become nearly swamped, meaning the boat was actually taking on water. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a boat that's been taking on water, but I just don't know if you're nautical or not, but water doesn't belong in the boat. Just so we're all on the same page about that. And I want to show you, just to give you even better, I've shared this video before, but I like sharing it because it gives you like an idea. The Sea of Galilee with a storm, it looks like this. So now you're in this you're in this little boat. It's taking on water, and you're in the middle of this at nighttime, like pitch black. Okay. So they wake him up. By the way, Jesus is snoozing. By the way, we should tell you something about Jesus. Number one, remember, it's always a good thing. Our personal sanctification should always draw us to be more like Jesus. Always. I think that's a pretty sound theological piece of advice from a pastor. So, it would make sense, if Jesus liked to eat and nap, we should like to eat and nap, okay? So, I'm not preaching anything here that you don't want to hear today. So, but take a look at this. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said, "Quiet, be still," and then he spoke. Like, he speaks to the wind and the waves, and it listens. Like, if Jesus just spoke to my kids and they listened, that would be a miracle enough for me. Like, I wouldn't need any other convincing. Like, who is this? He's God, right? like Michael actually listened for the first time in his life. That this would be amazing. But, like, he speaks to the wind and the waves, and they listen. It's incredible. In fact, if you look at it, it actually says, he said to the wind itself, if you get to the Greek, he says, "Muzzle yourself," and it obeys. You see, up until this point, Jesus has showed his authority over illnesses and demons, but now Jesus is showing his authority over creation. Over creation, over nature itself. By the way, who here thinks that this is a real story? By the way, this really happened? That's great, because it really did, just so you know. It really did. Right. We're all right. So, this really happened. So, if you're thinking here this is just some fantasy, it's not. But if it's in the Bible, it really happened. And this is not the first time that God's ever shown his authority over nature. In fact, if you remember, in the book of Jonah, God created a storm to come in. By the way, that took a little while, too, just so you know. Right? like God created a storm to come in over Jonah's boat so that they, until they threw him overboard, it wasn't until the storm stopped. Like God had made the storm be there until the sailors threw Jonah overboard and the fish got him. All right? In Joshua chapter 10, the sun stood still in the sky for 24 hours. It's amazing. Or the way that I view it, God stopped the actual rotation of the earth. It stood still in its axis for 12 hours, or 24 hours. Don't take my word for it. It's right here. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped. So the nation of vengeance, there was no tides that day. It's incredible. So Jesus is proving himself. He's answering the question of who he really is. He's God. This Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's not just a good rabbi. He's not just a good guy who lived in history. He's God. And he's proving it to us. And how you answer this question of who is Jesus should have serious implications for our life. Because if we don't answer the question, other than he's God, then we miss out on this entire gospel. We miss out on the entire point of Mark's message. We miss on the entire point of Christianity, period. That Jesus is God. Listen, there are some branches, I won't call them churches, but religion that do not even believe that this is true. And here are verses in the Bible that declare it to be true. There's no way around that. Now, if we do, it should have implications. If we don't, today is a great opportunity for you to begin to see Jesus has been calling to you for some while to reveal this to you. Many of you just told me you believe it to be a true story. Therefore, if we believe it to be true that this Jesus had control over creation, it should begin to move in and through our lives. And it should manifest itself in a couple ways that I want to share with you. But in order to do that, I want to stop. Because this is a heavy point. This Jesus is God. The one that you pray to, the one whose name that you pray to, the one that you ask your children to grow up loving, the one that we read about, the one that we sing about, he's God. And he wants to use today to bring about something amazing in your life. Because we're going to see there are going to be some reactions, especially in the ways of peace and the ways of fear, that if we answer this question that Jesus is God, it should manifest ourselves in ways in ourselves that should bring about some things in our life, like a sense of peace and a sense of fearlessness that we should have as a result of Jesus proving who he is. And so let's pray. It feels like the right thing to do. Let's go before we get to our points. Let's go before that Jesus now. Who are you? You are the King of Glory. You are the King of Kings. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the Lord of Lords. That's who you are. And that's who we desire for you to make known to us today, if it's not. And if it is, let us live it out with the truth that can only come from you. So today's the day about asking that question. Who is this? Who is this that has moved the wind of the waves? And who is this that has moved in my heart to be in this place today? So Lord, lead us and guide us and love us through, because the answer to this question means everything for us. Not only here on earth, but for all of eternity. So we give this time to you, Jesus, to have your way. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So the first thing, the first impact that knowing Jesus is God should have, because he proves it in this section, is that it gives peace. That there should be a peace that comes from us knowing. We know God intimately. We call him on a first name basis. This is a very, very interesting concept as we begin to unpack this. Who is this? He's God. And what should that mean for me? Rest for my soul. Let's go. So there was also boats with them when the furious squall broke over and nearly swamped. And there's Jesus. There he's, that's him. That's my best friend. That's my King of Kings, and that's my Lord of Lords. That is the one that I've changed my entire life for this guy. And what's he doing in one of the most like crazy moments in his life? He's sleeping. That's awesome. Like, that's incredible. Jesus, he's snoozing while this is going on. That the boat is, the water is just, it is coming into the boat. The boat's starting to sink. And there she is. They had to actually wake him up. Look at that. They woke him up and said to him these great things. Did you ever invite people into your panic? Have you ever done that? Because I do this all the time. Just so you know, like, poor Tab. I do this all the time. What was it? The keys? What was it this week? What was it? There was something. I called you and invited you into my panic. What was it? What? The debit card. That's what it was. That's right. So I was running out of gas because I didn't prepare, and I left the house, and like the little lights flashing, and I made it halfway to Glenmore. And by the way, if you don't know, there's no gas stations around here. Okay, although you got to go all the way to like Country Corner or whatever. But like, I'm driving here, and I call her up, and I'm like, I don't have any gas, and I'm so low, I don't know what to do. And she's like, what do you want me to do about it? Right? there's nothing I'm inviting her into my panic, right? And she's having no business about it whatsoever. Like, I don't want to step into that. I don't want to come into that. I don't belong there. But for whatever reason, it's like when I'm panicking, I want to invite you. You should panic too, right? You should be freaking out too. And you're like, it has nothing to do with me. Is there anybody here? You're not going to raise any hands. Always raising any hands here today. Oh, yeah. Is there anybody here that's kind of like that too? Like, I want to invite you into my panic. Okay. Do you know anybody that's like that? Okay. Good. Because look, this is what they want to do. They want to invite Jesus into their panic. They woke him up saying, don't you understand what's going on? Don't you even care about us? Right? They're saying, don't look all around you. And Jesus is asleep. By the way, Jesus knows everything. I don't know if you know that or not, but when Jesus gets into the boat, he knows exactly what's going to come down. And by the way, Jesus can just wake up and be like, it's done. And so they're inviting him into their panic. And I think sometimes we can do that when we come before God. And we're like, hey, you need to get in, you need to come down here, and you need to freak out about this too. And that's just not the case. Because the reality is, if we answer this question, that Jesus is God, that's going to mean that we should have Jesus-like characteristics even in these times of crises. Right? Like, what does Jesus' character act like in your head, by the way? I love this question. Like, how does Jesus respond in your head to certain things in your life? Does he panic? Or does he not panic? In your head. Like, by the way, just a theological just argument right here. Just Jesus has never gone that's theologically sound. He's never been like, oh my gosh. Like, that never happens. Jesus has never forgotten his debit card, right? Jesus has never called Tabitha freaking out, ever. It's never happened. So if he begins to act that way in your head, you have a wrong picture of who Jesus is. He's God. In the craziest moments of their life, this is probably a moment in their life they'll never forget. Remember when we were on that boat? Oh, yeah, we almost died? Yeah. What was he doing? He was sleeping. Why? Because he's at perfect peace. That's the God we serve. In the midst of panic, in the midst of turmoil, he's not frazzled by it one bit. That's the God we serve. Thanks, Tab. I hear you laughing. So not fair. Oh, yeah. Oh, I had plenty of gas to get home. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Oh, no. I completely made it home without a question. Found my debit card. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, Jeff McCracken never has to put up with this stuff. You know that? Ever. He never has to put up with this. Jeez. Is he... okay, he might be exhausted in this. In can I get back to preaching? Thank you. That's right. Someone control that lady. He might be exhausted in this story, but he's not exacerbated. Like, never once did Jesus ever, like, huff and puff and start to have a panic attack, because that's just not in his character. He can't do that. And that's the Jesus in whom we serve. And if we know who that Jesus is, if we declare that to be true, that should begin to manifest in ourselves when the waves start to crash over in our own lives. Right? Because what happens is, in the panic, we can begin to sound a lot like these disciples. Jesus, do you even care? Right? That's what we do this all the time, right? When we start to panic, and I by the way, I preached on this during Soul Care, so if this sounds a little familiar, I do apologize, but it's worth noting again that when we find ourselves in trouble, we throw our theology out the window. And that's what they did. Jesus, do you not even care about us? Like, do you not know what's going on, right? Do I care? I know everything about you. I knew the moment we'd meet. I knew the moment you were knit together. Psalm 139 says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. Like, he knows everything about you. He knows that you were going to be here in this moment. He knows what you're going to do in 15 minutes from now. He's going to know what you're going to do in 15 years from now. Nothing ever takes Jesus by surprise. And so we can't throw our theology out the window when things get a little unsettling. Even to the point when we think we're almost going to die, like, there should be a peace. If we know this Jesus as God, it should manifest ourselves in a peace. Jesus is God. And he wants to use opportunities in our lives to make us stronger. To make us more dependent on him. That's number one. Who is this that gives you peace? It's Jesus. Number two, who is this that dispels fear? Take a look. He says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I love the fact that Jesus asked this question. Because none of us would ask this question. Like, if we were on that boat, none of us would be like, Tom, why were you freaking out? Like, everybody here would know why we're having a panic attack. But Jesus actually says, like, he wakes up and he's like, he says to them, stop. He turns around. Why are you guys freaking out? Like, what's going on? Like, why are you having a panic attack? Do you still have no faith? Have you not listened to anything I've said? Do you not truly know who I am? Did you not just see what I just did with, like, the storm? Like, seriously. Because where Jesus comes from, this doesn't exist. There's an amazing moment. The supernatural meets the natural in this moment when he stops the storm. And when he turns around, he sees that which is not natural in heaven, fear. It doesn't exist. I don't know if you know this or not, fear doesn't exist. That's why whenever there's a presence of God, like, people get, like, super scared. And the first thing that any of the angelic or even the Spirit of the Lord comes up and says is, don't be afraid. Like, it's like that scene from, like, Infinity War where, like, we're like, T'Challa's like, no, we don't do that here. like the Hulk bows down. He's like, no, we don't do that. Like, he turns around, like, we don't get scared. We don't get afraid. Like, don't be afraid. I don't know if you're going to be able to see this, but one of the tools that I use every week to, like, find out what something means is going to be probably a little hard to see. I have to, like, look at words. I have to look at what the meaning of words are. And I have to take a look at every single meaning of a word or a phrase to see how it lines up with the entirety of Scripture. And you thought I just sat in my office and did nothing all week. Thank you, firefighters, because I hear about it all the time. But anyway, like, so if you look at just a quick Google search, or sorry, just a quick lexicon search of do not be afraid, look at who's saying this, right? Jesus, don't be afraid, for when they saw, right? If you go down to Luke 1, the angel, then Jesus. Look, Jesus then says, now I say to you, my friends, don't be afraid. Whenever there is a heavenly being speaking to earthly people, one of the first things that they say very frequently is that fear doesn't belong in their presence, in where they come from, and in what they're expecting those who follow them to feel. Fear is not a characteristic. It doesn't belong in heaven. It doesn't belong in heavenly beings. And it doesn't manifest itself in those who begin. And by the way, I'm not saying you're never going to be afraid or have fear. But we should begin to take a look at, if we find ourselves in this panic attack, this fear, we're not truly understanding who this Jesus really is. Because he turns around and says, why are you guys so afraid? What? Did I not say that we were going to the other side? Did I not already tell you that we were going to make it? Were you not paying attention? Did you not see or hear or experience? All this to say, whenever heaven invades earth, fear is not a byproduct. And that's why this amazing feat happens and Jesus turns around and says, why are you afraid? Because who Jesus is dispels fear. And if we truly understand that, it should begin to dispel the fear in our own lives too. He had just told them about the parable of the soils. We were there about 2 weeks ago. That fear and anxiety and all types of things could steal that and choke out the growth of our sanctification. The same is true. As we desire to be more like Jesus, fear pulls us away from that heavenly inspired mold that we're looking at. And it doesn't belong in heaven. And it doesn't belong in our world. Now, just keep a pulse on when you feel and why you feel the way you do. When you're afraid of things or having a moment. Listen, it's not uncharacteristic to be afraid. I get it. There are going to be things that come up that cause us to be anxious or worried or even afraid. But knowing this Jesus should begin to manifest itself in us to be able to say, you know what? That doesn't belong here. We don't do that here. So who is this that dispels fear? Oh, by the way, his name is Jesus. Lastly, who is this that cares for me? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? By the way, this is the most important question Mark is trying to answer. Who is this? And by the way, the way you feel about this answer is quite telling. For the disciples, look at their reaction. They were terrified. They were terrified of this Jesus. And the truth be told, if you don't know the real Jesus, it should be terrifying. Like, if you look at who Jesus is, in relationship to John 1, Hebrews 1, or Revelation 19, it should be a little unsettling to who Jesus is. Because here is this wonderful Jesus, and he's healing, and he's delivering demons, and he's calming the wind, and these are all great stories. But if he's God, truly God, there has serious implications to what that means. That he's holy. That he's the most powerful being that has ever not existed. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. John 1 says that nothing was created without Jesus. Hebrews 1 says that he is the exact representation of all of God's glory. And then Revelation 19 has Jesus on a white horse with a sword and a robe dipped of blood that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He should be a little terrified in the sense that we truly have an understanding of who he is. He's God. And who we are, sinful people. And so if we don't understand who this Jesus is as our personal Savior, guess what? We're all going to bow down at the knee of Jesus someday. All of us. And if we don't get this, if we don't answer this question right, it means for you a godless eternity. And that's terrifying. That being confronted with a holy God, being confronted with your sin, without having the blood of Jesus washed over you, should be terrifying. Revelation speaks it. Revelation 21 speaks it. For all those not found in Christ, for them was doomed a godless experience. But for those who find themselves in the Lamb's book of life, for them is this beautiful glory for all of time to experience Jesus forever. It's amazing. It's amazing. And that, when we answer this question, this Jesus is my God and my personal Savior, For that, there is eternal bliss and glory for all. And this is what is destined for all that know him. Know him as Savior. Know him personally. Who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 10:9 says, they will be saved. And this is the message that we preach. This is what we tell. John 14, all this I've spoken with you while I was with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything. I've said to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This whole passage right here, as Jesus speaks his high priestly prayer, is speaking about the peace and the fearlessness of who our God is and what he does for us. This is who he is. He's God. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He's your Creator. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. There's nothing that's been made without it. It was just, and the list goes on. We could be here all day talking about it, but I want to get you out of here. Who is this Jesus to you? So, Kevin, would you come up for me real quick? Because we're going to engage with these elements right here. And how you begin to engage with this speaks very, well, it tells a lot about who he is. So if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, today is a day where you can put all that behind you. Fear can be a thing of the past. Anxiety about where will I spend all of eternity, that can be a thing of the past. Because we put our hope and our faith in the God who is Jesus. Maybe today's a day where, I just want to submit more to what Jesus is doing and who he is. Maybe I need to make him a bigger portion of my life. Maybe I give him maybe a little more space, a little more closet space in my life. Like, there's some things maybe I need to do to receive the peace and the hope that comes from him. And so today's a big day because I want to use these elements as an opportunity to allow us to get some things today. Whether it's peace, whether it's fearlessness, or whether it's just salvation today for the first time. And by the way, I want to know that, but I got to keep record of that, by the way. And I want to celebrate that, by the way, because that means that we like all of heaven will rejoice at those who give their hearts to Jesus. I don't know if you know that or not, but whenever a believer like gives their heart to Jesus, it says there's angels in heaven who are rejoicing over one soul who's been won into the kingdom for all of eternity. Am I right, Donna? Right, she's shaking her head back there. She knows it to be true. And so my desire that if you leave here not responding to that, what you're doing is you're walking away from what the truth that we just talked about, that Jesus is God. And you have to live the rest of your life just knowing that I have to do something with that, but I'm not ready today. Or today's the day where we can put that aside and put that to bed and have a moment that we acknowledge Jesus. That we can put away our guilt and our shame and our sin and that all the stuff that we've done wrong against God, that just, it gets leveled at the cross and we receive Jesus for who he is. A redeeming, healing, sanctifying, loving God who will share all of eternity with you. That's amazing. So, before we get into the bread here, I'm going to call some folks here. Chris, would you come up? Jason, come up too. Thank you. He just threw you under the bus, too. Oh, hold on. There you go. I wanted to take a moment, because if you're here today and you want to have that moment to accept Jesus, it's as simple as a simple prayer. Jesus, I believe that you're my Savior. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I believe that your blood washes me, cleanses me of my sin. It's as simple as a prayer as that. And today's a day where maybe we can begin to respond to that. And if you're here today, just join me as we just have some silence here, as we have a moment. But I want you to come up to me. I want you to talk to me about it. I want you to talk to the elders about it, because you're stepping the first step in an amazing journey in who this God is and what that means for the rest of your life. And for those who are here, today's a day about letting go of some things. So let's just go before the Lord now. Look. this is the time. And Lord, we come before you. And so it's about what you want to do through us today and how you're speaking today. Spirit, would you use this time? Would you manifest yourself in this place? For those who need you, maybe for the first time, I pray that this would be a moment. I pray this would be a moment where we get a chance to experience that. Where we get a chance to experience you as Savior. Or maybe today's where we want less fear, or we want to be less panic. We want to just be at peace. Let this be that moment too. See our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.